going to repeat a message that I kind of implied a little earlier in our conversation. People want to be successful. As leaders and managers, when we start getting frustrated with our team members because they're not doing what we want them to do, we have to look inside ourselves and say, why? Why is it? What did I do to create that situation? Rather than blaming people for not being successful.
John Dariot, you're a veteran retail executive and leadership coach tackling one of the biggest challenges in business today, consistency. You've led teams at companies such as Macy's, Gap, Bank of America, and Travelex for more than 30 years and built a reputation for driving innovation, scaling teams, and helping organizations navigate complexity with clarity and purpose. You're the author of a number of books, and your fifth book is titled AIM: How Managers Get Radically Reliable Results. John, thanks for joining me. It's great to have you on board the HR Future Live podcast.
Thank you so much, Alan. I'm pleased to be here, and I appreciate the time to talk through all the great stuff we're going to talk about.
Good stuff. Now, let's talk about consistency. What does consistency look like when no one's watching?
Great question. I think sometimes consistency is boring, right? It can feel boring for the participants. But consistency is how an organization actually delivers sustainable results over time. And to your point about what does it look like, it looks like doing the same things, the same routines, the same actions over and over and over again, with the appropriate twist based on whatever, dynamic changes have happened in the environment, but certainly reacting to those dynamic changes, but delivering the same to the same standards over and over and over again in a repeatable way that yeah, becomes boring, but becomes radically reliable.
Now, this might be a very obvious question, but why? Why the need for consistency?
I like to use an analogy I got from somebody else, to be honest, but the Grand Canyon, the United States Grand Canyon, is one of the most amazing natural spectacles in the world, and it wasn't created by some meteorite crashing in and creating a one-time event. It was created by millions and millions of years of water flowing through the same place in a consistent pattern, and that that amazing spectacle of the American Grand Canyon is a great metaphor for how organizations can deliver superior results and really really fantastic things by doing those same things over and over again. And I think that too often organizations look for the big hit or the big goal in the closing seconds of a game instead of looking for the repeatable patterns over the entire 90 minutes that are going to make the difference.
So, John, you talk about same thing over and over again, etc. And I get your point on that, but where's the line between consistency and rigidity?
Also a good question. There's an equation that I like to live by. The equation is actions plus external influences equals results. And I think it is incumbent upon leaders to understand, number one, the results that they're looking to achieve or that the organization is looking to achieve. And number two, the external influences that are going to influence the teams or impact the team's ability to get to those results. So the actions are, according to the equation, dependent upon a clear definition of the results and a clear understanding of those external influences. So to your point, if you do the same actions over and over again, but the external influences change, then it's going to lead you to a different place from a results perspective. So I think the answer to your question is the leader must truly stay on top of the way the environment is changing and adapt the actions accordingly to always strive for the same standards or the desired results.
Okay, now I'm going somewhere with this next question. A leader who comes into a team and senses that there's a lack of consistency, what is he or she's going to see in that lack of consistency?
Right. There's a number of signs. First of all, a lot of times an organization that is not delivering consistently on standards is using different language across the teams, or there's a different level of understanding among team members as to what the results actually are. Another metaphor I like to use is a GPS. A GPS accurate use of a GPS depends on a clear entry of the desired destination. And a lot of times, if different members of the team have different views on exactly what the destination is, then that's a clear demonstration that they're probably on different paths and going to be taking different steps. Of course, the leader can wait around and see that the results are not on track across different members of the team. But I think those indications of a inconsistent understanding of the destination and inconsistent language across the team are two good early indicators that there might be a problem.
Now, again, another obvious question. The leader who senses this now and sees that his or her team is inconsistent, what do they need to do to build consistency?
So first, they need to start with the mindset that it's not the team member's fault. If they start blaming team members, then they're off on the wrong foot, I think. They
And
have
why is that so important, John?
because the if they take the attitude that it's the team member's fault, then inevitably the way that they try and make corrections is going to be punitive. And is going to lead to disengagement from the team members, and it's not going to solve the core problem. The core problem is that the people need to understand exactly what the goal is and exactly what's expected of them. I'm a true believer in the idea that most people want to be successful. I don't think that people wake up every morning and decide that they're going to sabotage their organization. So if that's the case, and if we believe that as leaders, we should take it upon ourselves to assume responsibility that we must be clear about the objectives. So I think a leader that senses that the team is not all on the same. First of all, am I clear about what the result is, and have I done a good enough job communicating the result to the team? And once that's established, then it's about really understanding what the priority standards are throughout the organization. I think it's entirely understandable that different priorities or different obligations of the team can conflict with each other. That's a normal situation. I think if a leader leaves it to team members to decide on their own which of the conflicting standards are most important at a given time, then inevitably every team member is going to make a different decision. And so I think the second step is for the leader to work with the team to create a very clear pyramid of standards or a very clear list of priorities, so that everybody understands exactly what's most important in each situation, so that everybody is making on the spot decisions in a consistent way.
Would you say that leaders underrate consistency?
For sure they do. I think maybe they might not theoretically underrate consistency. I think every leader thinks they want to be consistent. But I used the word boring earlier, and I think consistency does get boring for leaders. And I think sometimes maybe it's organizational dynamics, or maybe it's just the thrill of the big win. But sometimes it's more fun to go after the new stuff, the creative stuff, the like I say, the big wins. And so sometimes they kind of take their eye off the ball and migrate towards some of those things that are a little bit more fun. So it may not be an intentional underrating of consistency, but I think it does end up happening quite often.
And John, does one actually measure consistency, or do you measure the outcomes?
I think both. I mean, obviously it's about the outcomes. There's no point in doing all this if you're, you know, if you're not getting the outcomes you want. That said, the easiest thing to measure is the behaviors. And the thing that is most actionable for a leader is to measure the behaviors. And if, you know, if you actually have the right actions and right team behaviors in place, then it's much easier to control what is happening than to kind of jump a few steps ahead to the outcomes. And I believe that you know the most effective leaders spend their time and energy keeping the team focused on the right actions, following up on the right actions, providing feedback on the right actions, and they trust that if the actions are right, that it's going to deliver the right outcomes.
I want to move away from consistency now and kind of look more at leadership in general. Now, you've operated in high performance environments. What have you seen in terms of the evolution of leadership styles over the years?
I'm not so sure I would call it an evolution as I would call it a cyclical process.
Why is that?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's always this what I believe is a mistaken view of a continuum of leadership styles. There's the easy boss and there's the challenging boss. And you know, I think the general feeling is that bosses kind of sit on that continuum somewhere. Some are easier, some are harder, and some are you know kind of move back and forth on that scale, depending on the situation. I and you know there's times I think that where the idea of being a micromanager becomes the you know the a real thing to stay away from and gets a lot of, you know, micromanagement becomes the hot topic and leaders tend to leave employees alone to let them do their own thing. And they I think that ends up being a little bit of a cyclical thing based on either you know what's a popular theory, what book is out latest, or even what a particular leader is experiencing in the workplace, with her or his staff. I take a different view. I think that leaders can be both easy and hard at the same time. And I don't easy is probably not the right way to say it. I like to phrase it as leaders can instill both confidence and challenge in their team members at the same time. And that is the way that I believe teams perform best when they're feeling confident in their abilities, but they're also challenged to continue to make progress with those abilities. And I think that, you know, if there were to be a true evolution, I would like to see the evolution be managers who can really push both things at the same time. And that's I guess I'm on a bit of a mission to make that the case.
Now, if you were kind of to put your hands behind your head and reflect a little bit, is there a particular belief about leadership that you held, say, 5 years ago that you no longer hold, yet you've changed your mind on?
I'd go back a little bit longer than 5 years, but the clear answer is that there was a time in my career when I thought that I, as a leader, was responsible for having all the answers and for kind of giving all the direction and kind of being in charge. And that worked for me when I was managing small teams and I was able to roll up my sleeves and contribute personally to the team's efforts. But as I grew in my career and as I manage larger teams and manage remote teams, it became clear to me that I just couldn't control everything, and more importantly, that I didn't know everything, and I wasn't as good at some parts of the job as other people on the team, even though those people reported to me. So I evolved my own style to be much more collaborative, and I didn't do it on my own. I had lots of help, and I received lots of good advice from people who I worked for, and from third parties, and from people who worked for me. I got lots of input, and fortunately, I was open-minded enough to listen to all that advice, and once I became more collaborative, and once I became comfortable with the idea that I didn't have to have all the answers, and it was just a matter of making sure there was enough communication to kind of unlock ideas across the team rather than everything coming from me. I really my career, my success, and my the feeling that my team members actually enjoyed working with me were that all accelerated tremendously.
Now, many organizations struggle to turn strategy into execution. Where would you say most leaders go wrong with that?
I think that sometimes leaders assume that everybody on the team understands the actions needed to translate strategy to execution. And some people might, but many people on the team will struggle with what routines need to be established, or with which actions are most directly correlated with successful achievement of the strategy. And consistent with the point I made a minute ago, it's not necessarily for the leader to decide what every one of those actions, but it is very important for the leader to collaborate with the team, and to get everybody on board with an understanding of what the strategy is, and to come up with a real action plan that everybody buys into and everybody's a part of, and everybody understands how to execute.
Your thoughts on building a team that's high performing but also highly engaged?
I think those two things go hand in hand. I think a leader is wise to focus first on engagement, and understand that high engagement will often, and likely lead to high performance. So the engagement involves including people in the big picture. It involves including people in the planning. It includes creating an environment that is built on respect, mutual respect, and it includes building an environment that is safe. The team members need to feel like it's safe to ask questions. It needs to be safe for them to make mistakes. It needs to be safe for them to challenge, and to express disagreement. And when all of those conditions are in place, then not only does it lead to better engagement on the part of the team, but it leads to better communication, and better communication leads to better problem solving, and I think more urgent or quick action when things aren't going the way they need to go.
Now, we're very focused on the future, and I've got great regard for the gut instinct of experts. As you look ahead in the next 3 to 5 years, so to speak, what do you sense is going to be coming?
Yeah, I mean, it's already hitting us, right? Technology is always a factor, and with the rapid acceleration of artificial intelligence, I think there's more and more pressure on leaders to kind of consume more and more data, and to use that data to use technology to replace some things that have traditionally been human behaviors, and also perhaps to reduce resources, and because the whole allure of AI is to be able to get things done more quickly and more efficiently. And I think while I'm certainly I'm certainly a big fan of technology and how it moves the world forward, I do worry that the more leaders rely on artificial intelligence or technology to do some of the things that really should be human behaviors, the personal interaction between leaders and team members will begin to disintegrate, and the eyeball to eyeball conversations will begin to go away or become less frequent, and people will lose the nuance of body language, facial expressions, tone of voice, and that can be a big problem for both the quality of communication and for the level of team engagement.
To that point, your thoughts on remote working, has that played a role in it, do you think?
I think it has. I mean, there's look, I'm the CEO of an organization, and I have established a rule with my team that they must be in the office 3 days a week, and they can work from home 2 days a week, and I believe that's the way the world is today, and it's certainly a result of the pandemic and everything else. So I realize I'm not a lunatic who says everybody has to be live every hour of every day, because that's just not reality. That said, I do think that there's a big difference between getting on a Zoom call with people and having that type of interaction, and there's a difference between that and being in the office and being able to pop over to somebody's desk and have a conversation, or the camaraderie that comes with just talking about the weekend instead of every interaction being a Zoom, being a half hour Zoom that's totally focused on a business agenda. So yeah, I think that I think that there are certain advantages about remote work, and it certainly helps people feel better about their work-life balance. But I think there is a danger in undermining the real human interactions.
Got you. Got you. John, time for some rapid fire questions now.
Sure.
What breaks consistency the fastest?
Lack of follow-up.
Okay. And consistency or intensity, which matters more?
Consistency. I think intensity can be ratcheted up or down, but the problem with intensity, if it ratchets up and down, is that it breeds inconsistency.
And consistency in people, is it a skill or a mindset?
I'd say it's a mindset that can be learned. There's certainly some skill involved, but if you put the right leadership behaviors in place, consistency can be learned by anybody.
And talking about consistency, one thing you do every day without fail, no matter what.
Make a to-do list
Oh,
every single
okay.
day, every single
Okay. I'm guilty there too.
day.
John, as we wrap up now, I always pose the same thing to everybody. I've learned that experts have things on their hearts that they feel they want to say and that people need to hear from them. And they often don't get a chance to say those things. Now's your chance. What's on your heart that you feel people need to hear from you?
I love it. I'm going to repeat a message that I kind of implied a little earlier in our conversation. People want to be successful. As leaders and managers, when we start getting frustrated with our team members because they're not doing what we want them to do, we have to look inside ourselves and say, why? Why is it? What did I do to create that situation? Rather than blaming people for not being successful. And if we truly take that mindset, then all the other pieces fall into place so quickly.
John Dario, it's been great picking your brains. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you, Alan. Great conversation.